I'd like to start with 1 Thessalonians, fifth chapter. First verse says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." I'd like to think about that a little bit this morning, and to pray that the Lord would help it to be something that would be meaningful and useful to us. The contrast between the day and the night. Paul says here, ye are all children of light and children of the day. And think about the contrast between the two and the idea. If there's children of the day, then there's children of the night. Think about the difference between the day and the night. Now, I know in one aspect, of course, God's God of all. God made day, God made night. But this is using it as an analogy that we can understand the difference. We're children of the day. What are the difference between the day and the night to you? Is there a difference? My days are full of activity. I do a lot of things in the day. The things that we can see and understand, the information that we can get, is drastically different in the daytime. Now, we live in a time of electricity and electric light. But if you would imagine a time even before that advancement, and think of the difference between the day and the night, it is even more vast. We was driving down the road this morning. Beautiful day. Beautiful day. The sun is illuminating the world out there. And we was coming down the road, and I looked over about 200 yards out in this pasture out here. There was a deer walking out there. And I said, "Hey, look, there's deer out there." You couldn't have seen that in the night. 200 yards out there, you'd have never seen it. Driving down the road, there would have been a very small corridor that you would see just in the road, and you know almost nothing of what's going on beside you. But in the daytime, it's totally different. We drive down, and there's apple trees up the road here. You can see the apples just hanging on them. That's information you wouldn't get in the nighttime. You wouldn't know that there was apples over there. You wouldn't know when the leaves are changing colors. They're not yet, but they will be before too long. There's some changing of colors. You'll see all those things, and all that's lost in the night. There's things that I have a full active daytime. We're doing, we're working, we're doing things, and you don't do that in the nighttime. And I'll say this about the nighttime. There's things that go on the nighttime it's brought out in the scriptures. There's things done in the nighttime. You don't want to be a children of the night, of the darkness. Lord, help us not to be children of the night, of darkness. One of the things that you do that this is bringing out is one of the things you do in the night is sleep. Now, in the natural sense, that's a good thing. But not in a spiritual sense. It's not a good thing to sleep. And you sleep at night, and the nights is full of sleeping and slumbering, but there's a lot of other things that go on in the night. There is places, and we've been there. We've been there in the places that once the day starts ending, and the shadows start falling, people start coming out in an anticipation of the night. And the activities of the night are totally different and the activities of the daytime. Lord, help us. We are children of the daytime. We should embrace the daytime. If you understand what I'm saying, our lives ought to be full of the daytime. This world needs people of the day, of integrity, of honor, of noble things, to know what right and wrong is. You know that we live in a world that's more and more and more. Our nation is becoming darker and darker and darker. When you look at it and say, why? Why do people do what they do? Why do they see the things that they see? Why do they think right is wrong and wrong is right? And they live in a nighttime of their souls. They don't know what good is. They don't know what wrong is. We live in a time now that just almost anything goes that's right. But the very things that's really right, real true righteousness and holiness and living right, is looked at as it's a bad thing. We're children of the light. And my burden today is that we would embrace the day, and that we would, by the help of the Lord, want to eradicate all darkness out of our light. You know how you get rid of darkness? There's only one way to get rid of darkness. That's to get a light to it. Light will run the darkness away. And that we wouldn't even accept the shadows. Because that's how you usually end up in darkness. Every day, the world goes through the same pattern. This is a beautiful day. We are at 11:15. The sun is high in the sky. It's illuminating everything out there, but there is going to go through a process until the sun is going to start setting. When it does, it's going to start casting long shadows in dark places. And then those dark places are going to give away to darker and darker. And it happens that way in our souls too, if we're not very careful and we don't embrace the light and the understanding and what the Lord wants to bring to us. If we don't embrace that, we're going to start casting shadows across our experiences. And folks, listen, it's the human part of it that you and I, a lot of people don't even understand it or want to understand it. But I would want that you'd understand it today, that when you start allowing the shadows to cast across your mind, you're not going to have the mental capacity to change it. You think you can, but you can't do it. There's something more than that. When you start allowing that to happen in your life, you're going to start accepting it as a right thing. It's okay to have that, or this is an all right thing. Our world is darkened. You can't help when you start embracing the night. It will affect your day. It'll affect the light and understanding. This says your children. We're children of the light and children of the day. That we ought to be an influence, and Lord help us to be it. You don't have to make a conscious effort to be an influence if you make a conscious effort to have light in your life. The light will illuminate, and the influence will naturally be there from the light that's there. It will illuminate. Lord, help us. We're children of the day. And as children of the day, we're about our business. You work in the day. You do what you need to do in the day. And we should always be about our business doing that. I'm thinking of I heard a little bit of the Republican debate for president. Donald Trump was talking, and he's quite a forthright type person. And he was talking about him giving donations. Yeah, you can use it as a positive or a negative to say you gave money to somebody, you must support them. Not necessarily. He says, I give money to everybody. Well, why do you do that? Because they owe me if they do, if I do. Now, here was somebody that in a way was being forthright. He was telling us, right, yeah, he'd give money to Hillary Clinton. He'd give money to this. I'd give money to people on this stage, he says. Why do you do that? It comes out because then when I say I want something of you, now he's saying this, I never heard a politician, everybody knows this, but politicians won't admit to it. This guy admits to it and says, yeah, I give them money, and then when I want something, they got to give it to me. I want to enlighten you a little bit. That's not virtuous, okay? It's not being a child of light. Okay, I'm going to accept your money, and then when you call on me as a favor, I'm going to give it to you. But we know that's the way the world was. But I want to tell you, that shouldn't be behind. We shouldn't have a life that's behind the door somewhere or in the corner or a shady area that can't clearly be seen. That's not children of light. We'll do these things. What this man is doing is saying, I'm shrewd. I know how to get things done, and I can do it for you too. What he's basically asking us to do is say, you put me in there and I'm shrewd enough and dark enough and do this. I can use the same thing in these other things too. I'm not sure it's ever possible, and I'm not getting into politics here. I'm just saying that the world's so messed up that the good's bad and the bad's good, and if I can get something from it, I'll go with it. That's one of the problems that we have. God wants His people to be children of the day. Children of the light. What you see is exactly what we are. That's what we are. Lord help us to get rid of the shady areas. Where there's an area over here that you can see me over there, but it's darkened. There's some camouflage to it. It's not open. It's not transparent. It's not seen. It. We're children of the day. Jesus was a child of the day. Jesus brought light into the world, understanding into the world. Lord, help us that we want to be that way too. That we don't have things in our life. And this is one of the things that's the most important. And I'm not talking about, of course, there is a relationship between me and my wife. There's relationships that is personal and private. But the Lord don't want us to have anything in our lives that needs to be covered by darkness. And when we have those things in our life, folks, night affects the day. I'll put it this way in the natural sense. If we try to train our children, raise them up, and at some point you got to realize is that if you're going to work on a job, you're going to go to the job every day and you're going to be good at the job, then you're going to have to go to bed at some time in the night. Okay? And if you don't go to bed and get rest, it's eventually going to affect the daytime. You're either not going to want to get up and go to work, or you're going to go to work and you're going to be so wore out by your night activities that you can't do the proper job that you should do there. So the proper thing is to do is to come in tired from work and at some point go to bed and get up refreshed for the day, because the night's going to affect your day somewhere along the line. And that analogy holds true in the spiritual sense. Do you know that if we allow nighttime to affect, we can affect our day? I don't know if this is a good analogy or not, but it is an analogy. There was a guy that he was quite famous in the sports world. His name was Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was absolutely as far as sports go, he was a golfer, and he became amazingly good at it. He won, he got on a streak of winning. This man won. Golf is a game that takes an extreme amount of mental energy. Now, it's not just, the game looks simple, but everything has to be done in a certain way, and your mind really has to be into it. And experts will tell you that you have to really, to be to that kind of level that he was, has to be extremely into it. You have to be totally, totally focused to be good at it, at his level. And if you haven't heard about his story, he was quite successful, made millions of dollars golfing and made millions more in advertising and very popular and everything. And he had a beautiful wife and everything was going right for him. Tiger Woods got caught up in some nefarious activities, cheating on his wife, that kind of thing. And then when all that came out, I actually heard it come out and sports people and experts talking about this, and they asked, will this affect his game? Oh, absolutely. Wait a minute. That activity can affect a golf game? They said, absolutely. Because anything that can throw him off, his ability to concentrate and do exactly what he needs to do, will totally affect his game. Tiger Woods, that's been several years ago, and Tiger Woods has been an absolute disaster as a golfer. He has never overcome the darkness that he allowed in his life. That affected his mental capacity until he can't play golf. And as a matter of fact, I think I recently heard that not only is he not doing any good now, he's not even making the cut now to be good. I mean, these things that he used to win, now he can't even make the cut. He can't even, they won't even allow, you have to go on the course and go so good on the course to be able to play the game. So then gotta eliminate the bad players. And now he's a bad player. He can't even make the cut to get in the top people to play. Now, he's went that far. My analogy here is, folks, that the night will affect your life. When you are willing to allow things in your life. See, the fact of it is, and Brother Jeff had it right in Sunday school, ministers can't come up here and tell you how to live your life. I can't come up here and tell you, you do this, you move here, you go there. God doesn't give that to me. God simply gives me some words to speak from His Spirit. That's the way it works. See, I can't do that. I can't stand up here as a man and tell you you've got darkness in your life. I can see some fruit of darkness sometimes. I can see some of that. But I can't come up here and say, you've got something hidden. You've got something in there. There's a room in your life that you got. No, I can't do that. I can't see that. But God can see that. I'm going to tell you something. Those dark areas in your life will affect your days. We like to think that they don't. This will not affect my spirituality, or this won't affect my relationship with the saints, or this won't affect my relationship. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it will affect it. Any darkness into your life. This nation, folks, is not going to continue to run down a line of darkness and not pay the consequences of it. It will not do it. It's darkness. It's not daytime. It's darkness. Well, they're saying, well, a lot of this darkness is coming out, but it's not coming out. It's coming out, yeah. It's coming out as darkness. It'll have its effects. If you and I could only see what the seeds were planted of darkness years ago, we're reaping those seeds now of the things that are in our world. I'm not nearly as concerned about an economic disaster as I am worried about a spiritual, a moral disaster that we're running. God can pull the rug out from under our economy anytime He wants to. And He may just do it. And if God is merciful, listen, if God is merciful, He will. You understand what I'm saying? It would be God's mercy to this nation to pull that out, to get our attention, to say, what's happening? What's going on? Because people is running in the nighttime. And they're accepting more and more things. And folks, listen, when there starts to appear a shadow in your life, I say it this way, and I know there's personal places, and there is places of being prudent about life and stuff. But when shadows starts crossing your pathway, you'd be wise, I'd be wise, to dispel those with the light of God. I'd be wise to acknowledge I've got a shadow crossing my path. It's going to cause nightness. It's going to cause darkness and night to come into my life. It's a shadow that's coming into my life. And anytime you feel like you need to hide something from this body, I want you to beware of something. That's only going to get darker and darker. You'd be wise to make sure that when the shadows start falling, that I immediately say, if I have to say, I confess my thoughts one to another, but confess it and say, I got a darkness coming across me. I got a black mark here. I got a darkness that's coming in. I got something that I want to, my natural inclination is to hide it from you all. I got a disposition or an attitude. Got an attitude that, you ever get an attitude? Do you ever get a bad attitude? And what you want to do is hide it. When you start wanting to hide something, it's darkness. And the writer here says, the Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. And you're going to be caught unaware. But you won't be, he says to them, because you're children of the light. And you're children of the daytime. And you're not sleep like other people do. And go to sleep. If we're not careful in this time, one of our biggest dangers of 2015 and beyond, if the Lord tarries, one of our biggest dangers is going to sleep. One of our biggest dangers is they've been rocked to sleep. There was a time when, and throughout history, I appreciate those that's been faithful, but there was a time that people had to pray for their food. I'm not saying ask the Lord to bless it. I'm saying ask the Lord to give it. Lord, where are we going to get? Lord, provide us with some food. There's been that kind of place. I give the Lord the credit, but we got two freezers, not counting the one in the refrigerator. Big freezers. And you'd be hard-pressed to get anything in them. God has provided for us. I don't have to pray today for that. I have the ability to travel, to go. We have the things around us. We live in a very blessed time. But because of it, folks, don't allow the shadows to come over our lives. Don't allow the darkness to invade into our own lives, into our own souls. There's something about tonight. We all feel it and know it. I've been many, many times longing for the day. Lord, help me to get through this long, dark night. The darkness around, a child sick, or I'm sick, or I'm in a child sick. One time in Guthrie, all six members of us were sick at the same time. We all had the flu. Laying on Tim Husky's floor, in his bedroom floor upstairs, I still remember. Every one of us was sick with the flu at the same time, and I felt the primary caregiver to help everybody else out. It was a long, dark night where I'm praying, Lord, help. The devil is more, it seems like stronger, impresses more in the darkness. Your mind runs more in the darkness. And there's hopelessness in the darkness. There's, you know what I'm saying? This feel of doom and dread and all that permeates the darkness. I feel like our nation is that way now. I feel like our nation has went into a place of darkness and seeing people standing and saying, this is right, knowing that they're headlong for disaster. I can't do anything about the world, but I can do something about myself. By the grace of God, I can defend off the shadows that starts crossing my pathway and the things that I'm willing to accept in the times of weakness of my life. I need the Lord to help me. Yes. Lord, help that part of my life to be illuminated. Give me courage. Give me courage to stand because the world is looking at me funny. Yes, Lord, help us. And if I'm not careful, I'll allow a little darkness to go over it to give me comfort against the ridicule. Understand what I'm saying? The ridicule of it. But Jesus, or Paul says, you're not children of darkness. You're children of the light. You're children of the day. Illuminate your day. Stand up. Stand strong. Be encouraged to enlighten the path for others. If we're not careful in our weakness, we'll want to back off from the idea that I'm different from the world. I shouldn't. Because there's two different children. There's children of light and there's children of darkness. Which one of these two do we want to be? But you, brethren, are not in darkness that day. Oh, let me go up and get. Yeah, that's it. That day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and the helmet, the hope of salvation. And he says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Oh, it'll be all right. No, it ain't going to matter. Make no difference. We can glide right on through this. But the writer says, let's not be children of the night. Let's be children of the daytime. Watching. There's a scripture that ties into that. It's in 1 Peter 5. Maybe this is what we had today in Sunday school. 1 Peter 5. It says in the 8th verse, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It says again, be sober. What's he talking about? Sober. I don't drink. So there's no problem, right? Again, there's an analogy here about drunkenness. But what the writer was talking about wasn't just tipping the bottle. He was talking about the nature of it. What happens to a drunk? They lose their facility for reason. They lose their capacity to understand. They lose the ability to follow what they do understand. He says, be sober. You can be drunken with the cares of life. You can be drunken on the entertainments of this world. You can be drunken on it. It can take your sensibilities away from you. Your ability to say, I need to stay away from that. That is wrong. You involve yourself in the entertainments and the things of this world, and you're going to desensitize yourself, and you're not going to have enough sensibility to say, I need to stay away from that. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, and eventually that shadow is going to deepen. And there's going to be a darkness, an inability to understand and see what's really going on around about in our world and in our life, in my own heart, my own life. I need to be able to be enlightened by the Spirit of the Lord to understand what's right and wrong. Yeah, I ask the world, go, sure. I'd like to write a paper on it. But that isn't the crucial area. The crucial area is my ability to see where I'm right and wrong at, where my activities have went astray. Have I got a place in there that I'm defending, holding on to, a darkness in my own life? Or a place that's desensitized by what I've been doing in my own life. It says to be sober. Be sober. Don't be drunken with the things around about you. You can be drunken on those things. There's people that's drunk on power. There's people that's drunk on money. They're drunk on things of the world, on the things of this. But the saint says, don't allow anything to get you into that kind of a place. Be sober. It also gives us an idea about being a sober-minded. That means, and I don't think the Lord, I think that there is a pleasantness and a godliness about being able to enjoy life. I don't think God wants us going around with a frown on our face all the time. I think there's a serious moment to where we're supposed to have a seriousness about us. But I don't think that contradicts this idea of being sober. Because we're taking and talking about the serious things of life. My soul is important to me. My family's soul is important to me. This congregation's soul, this community's soul, it's important to me. It isn't just a matter of my getting my feelings hurt that I think that the nation ought to change. It's the fact that people are going to lose their souls. There are people that are losing out in life. There's people that God intended to be something that aren't, they're not getting that because of the darkness that's prevailing over them. You know, there's a darkness and a general lie that the devil's telling out there. He's just telling a lie. It's all a big lie about what it's all about. Now people more and more are discrediting the idea of there even being a God. Where's their hope? Where's the hope of salvation when you completely erase the idea of God? They're lost and they need to be saved. And they reject the very one that's there to save them. What an awful darkness. But you know, folks, honestly, we can get into a darkness setting right here in these pews. You can have a religious, and that's why the Scripture says, in one way, if you're going to walk in the gospel, how does it say that? You're going to live in the gospel, walk also in it. There's an idea of going another step farther and making it the way you live your life. If you're going to claim that you're religious, you're going to claim that, then why not step one step farther and allow it to affect all your life around you, that you can be children of light. We can go into darkness setting right here, coming to service every time the doors is open, and you can descend into a darkness. There is only one light. Folks, we're desperate for the Lord. We're desperate for the Lord, and the relationship of the Lord that He affords into our lives is what's going to illuminate everything into our life. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to say to the Lord, there's an area in my life and I'm not going to let you go there, He will accept that. If you want to hold a darkness in your life, the Lord isn't going to strong arm you out of that. He isn't going to enlighten it in the face of what you want. No, He's going to sit there as the gentleman waiting for you to say, Lord, would you turn the light on in this room? I got places in here that I hide. It isn't up for you to tell me. But there is a place that you come to the understanding before you and the Lord. Say, Lord, illuminate this place in my life. I'm holding it as a darkness in here. There's a place that I wouldn't want to end. I wouldn't want you all to know it. I wouldn't want my wife to know. I wouldn't want anybody to know it because it's just too dark to see it in there. I'm not careful to say, Lord, I don't even want you to see it or know it. But the Scripture says we're children of light. We have the great privilege of being able to go to the Lord and ask Him to illuminate. You know what light means? It's just like it is in the natural sense. God don't intend us to go down a dark corridor that you can't see what's off to the side. But the Lord wants to illuminate our world for us. And now I understand something about life, something about myself. Illuminated up to where I can see myself. And I just said something in a way and I got the privilege of asking the Lord, why did I act that way? And the Lord is able to reveal it. And I can get the victory over that. And if I ain't very careful, I'm going to tell you, Lord, help us, because I've lived enough of life to know this. And it's brought a great sense of mercy and pity into my life, and I thank God for it. But I'm going to tell you what living life's done for me. I'm saying living this Christian life is. It's took away a lot of my idealistic thinking. And it's put me in the realms of reality. And it's put me into a place to where I can understand that after a while of living this life and going through the struggles and the battles and the struggles and the battles and the battles and being down and being down and long battles and long things happen, there can be a place where you can get tired. And you can get wore out with things. You can get wore out. And the fact of it is, enough, careful, the devil will bring a darkness in that time. I've seen it happen. I've seen it creeping over my own soul before. I've just fought this so long. I am so tired of fighting it and fighting and fighting it. Give me something else somewhere. And if not careful, a loss of light is a loss of vision. And I don't see anything clear anymore. I don't see the way of the Lord clear. I don't see the way of salvation clear anymore. You know, I believe the Bible teaches a sin-free life. And I believe we teach and preach a sin-free life. But I'm going to tell you, after years of fighting and failing and fighting and struggling, that can blur. That can blur. The victories that we know's there can blur. Can I really be victorious in a... If I can others? And you know, after a while, there's been many, many that lost the vision. The darkness came over and they lost the vision of what it was all about. And it left them either completely gone or hollow. And not having a pure, good testimony. I'm thankful that He said, you're children of light. You don't have to wallow, grope. God don't want His children groping. I get up sometimes in the night when we ain't got a night light on. Well, I'll tell you one story. I forgot I'd done it. I pulled my mower down here. And when I got back to the house, I just backed it in beside the house where I put my truck. And I said, oh, I'm going to just leave the trailer hooked up and I'll unhook it tomorrow and put it back where it belongs. Well, I come running over. I come out of the house night, and I was going to go into the backyard, and I forgot that trailer was on there because it's normally not there. It was something that was out of the ordinary, and I took off at a pretty good clip. And when I got just past my truck, I run into something and hit my shins, cut thump, and over I went. And now I'm laying there in agony. Oh, that trailer. Groping, falling, floundering, failing over things and obstacles in the way because I can't see them. I can't see them. I can't see the trap anymore. I can't see the problem anymore. I can't see the way through. I can't see where I'm supposed to be. Something is in my way and I'm groping my way through life. Folks, God don't want us to be groping our way through this experience. He's got victory for us in this. He's got a way of bringing understanding to our own lives. No failures in your life and places you can't overcome. Don't feel like you're the only one like that. We're all like that. It's just how much we all bring it out in our personalities. Many times we're all like that. But the Lord wants to enlighten and illuminate that. Lord, help me to see and understand what is it that I'm supposed to be doing and how am I supposed to do it. I don't want to go stumbling through life all the time. Busting my shins up. Busting my head up on something. Because I can't see it. I have this habit. I do it up the cabin all just regularly. And it's a frustrating thing. If I wear a cap... It's a blinder to anything above me. And I'll keep sore places on my head from hitting the stuff up there underneath the cabin. Because I always forget, and my cap shows it, and I'll go like that, and I'll hit my head on a beam, or hit my head on something, because I got something blocking the way. You know what the Lord wants to do about those things? He wants to remove the hindrance. He's not saying, I'm going to keep you from busting your head on everything. He said, I'm going to give you light that you can see that. And if you stubbornly got to go running into that, you'll do it. But God wants us to be illuminated and see. And not only that is that, you know what? How much color do you see in darkness? None. Not if it's real darkness. Color and beauty is not in darkness. It's in light. You know, there is a beauty in overcoming failures. You know, there is a beauty in sacrifice. You can't see that in darkness. The world can't see it. You know what some of the people in the world say? The people in the world will criticize the Christian story of the crucifixion. Now I want to ask the believers, what do you think about that? Would you say that's the ugliest story you ever heard? I say it's the most beautiful one. The world criticizes that because it's in darkness. And it can't see the beauty of the Son of God giving Himself for the sins of the world. They look at it as a horrible thing and a horrible God that allowed it to happen. And I say it's one of the most beautiful things there is. Driving down the road and looking across these green valleys and seeing deer out there in the field and seeing all the different things is beautiful. You can't see that when you come down through here at midnight. It's still there. You know there's deer in the field at midnight? Is the grass any less green? Is there anything different? There's probably more of the night animals. There's probably all kind of beauty out there. And you can't see any of it because it's dark. And the Lord wants, Lord help us. My burden as I thought about this was seeing a long shadow falling across my life. What am I going to do about it? This shadow is starting to fall. Don't see things like it used to. Things are different than me. Somebody hurt me. Now I got to deal with it. Those kind of things. That's some darkness. Just falling across that. Oh Lord, help my path not to be dark. Lighten it back up. That feeling that I have towards somebody I think done me wrong is darkness. It's darkness. It's going to make a good dark place in your life. You're going to want to hide it. You're not going to stand up in Wednesday prayer meeting and say, you know, they done me wrong and I just hate them for it. I hate them. I want you all to hate them too. And if I can, any way I can do it, I'm going to badmouth them until you hate them too because I hate them. I think that's the right way to do it. No, it's darkness. And you know it's darkness. You wouldn't want somebody to know that deep dark thing about your soul. And the Lord don't want it either. And He wants to clear it up. He wants to make it better. He wants to shine the sun in there and say, and now there's not hate there anymore. There's love there now. Shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. And now you know what I can say on Wednesday night service? I won't say they didn't do me wrong because maybe they did. But I can say there is a grace, a beautiful grace to come into my life and my heart. And I love them. And I want you to love them too. And if there's any way that I can help you to love them, I'll help you to love them too. Because I love them and I want them loving. And God wants to shed His light into our lives. You're not the children of darkness. There's a dark world out there and there is children of darkness. But the Lord doesn't want His people to be dark. He wants them to be enlightened by His truth and His love and His mercies in our lives. And Lord, I thank the Lord for His grace today. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.